With me, please, the book of Mark, chapter number 6, verse 45. While you're turning there, let me say thank you to all of the ladies who attended ladies' conference. I believe some 28 ladies were able to attend that conference. Why don't you ladies give yourselves a hand for representing Wallace Ridge in such a tremendous fashion? And also our young people, nearly 40, went to youth statewide, where it was estimated between 4,000 and 5,000 people were in attendance. And there was forevermore a wonderful touch of the Holy Ghost. And they also showed up this past Monday, a great group of them. And they mowed the grass, they cleaned the sanctuary, they worked Monday. And we want you to know, young people, how much we appreciate your hard work and your dedication to the kingdom of God. Now let me say that I did move the business meeting from the 29th of March back 1 week. The 29th fell on a Monday where there was no prayer meeting, fifth Monday. I want you to be able to spend that Monday with your family. And so we'll just do our business meeting after all church prayer on the following Monday, on April the 5th. So if you'll make mention of that. And by the way, thank you for everyone that attended, has attended your respective prayer meetings. Youth and ladies and men had a great, great prayer meeting here this past Monday night. Thank you, Brother Black, for leading that prayer meeting. Great turnout for that. So thank you. And also this Sunday night and next Wednesday, I want you to make plans to be here. Brother Greg Albritton will be ministering on Sunday night and Wednesday night, and he's got such a tremendous testimony and a great evangelist. Some of you will remember him. So please, doesn't matter who's preaching, we go to church. Amen. We don't go for the preacher. We go for the Lord. And I have utmost faith and confidence that you will be here for those services. Now, I just want you to know, I'm going to shoot from the hip tonight. My other hip. If you were not here Sunday night, you're not going to be able to watch it on live stream. You're not be able to get it on podcast. And if you heard about it, it probably wasn't as bad as you heard. But we are going to make CDs available. I would like every family to have a CD. Not that I want you to hear me. It wasn't about me. But it was for our church. For what God is wanting to say. Sunday night was one of those messages. I got home and laid in bed and I started going, where did all that come from? I didn't have that in my notes. But that's what the Holy Ghost does. And I meant every word that I said. Now, if you got offended, you probably didn't get offended as what was said, as how it was said. Well, I can't control that all the time. It just comes out. I've been known for being blunt. And it's just part of my genetic makeup. But I worked most of the morning on a big lesson for tonight about hair. And while service was going on, the Lord spoke to me and said, you're not going to preach that tonight. And he dropped a word in my spirit that I have nothing but a Bible in front of me. And it's scary because I don't know what's going to come out. But we're just going to see what the Lord wants to do tonight. Beginning with verse 45, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. The only words the Lord spoke to me walking up and down the front is what I'm going to preach about tonight. Maximize your moment. Maximize your moment. Could you lift your hands to heaven tonight? Let's ask the Holy Ghost to speak to us. Father, somebody here needs to hear this word. Somebody in this building needs to leave changed tonight. You know who it is and you know what they're facing. And I pray, Lord, that that coal from the altar will be pressed against these lips. Lord, that I could preach as an oracle of the Holy Ghost. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can we clap our hands unto the Lord? Amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated. You would think tonight that if anybody had faith, it should have been the disciples. Now, keep in mind all of the miracles that they saw, but aside from the miracles, all of the teaching that they heard, they didn't hear teaching just from a mortal being. But they heard teaching and preaching parables from the mouth of the Lord himself. They heard the Sermon on the Mount. They heard about the Beatitudes. They heard more direct words, even more direct than what the multitudes heard, as Jesus spoke very plainly and poignantly to his disciples. And one would assume that after all of the teaching, and after all of the miracles, keep in mind we read just the highlights. The scripture just skims the surface of really everything that the Lord accomplished. We kind of get the nuggets out of his life. The Bible says that there's not enough books in all of the world that could contain all of the miracles and the things that Jesus performed and he did. So you would think that if anybody should have been full of faith, if anybody should have been full of expectation, that it should have been the disciples. But you know what? When I read these books, when I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I kind of feel better about myself, because Peter was a hothead. He was a loudmouth. And you have various personalities and you have various nuances embedded in the fabric of the chosen 12, because Jesus understood, I've got to have such a mixture of people, such a mixture of personalities, that everyone could see that my grace and my mercy is applicable to everybody. If Jesus was only called to a certain personality type, then it would exclude most of humanity. But he chose such a vast array of people. He chose such a mixture of people that it shows us that his grace and his mercy can reach anybody. No matter if you're a Peter with a loud mouth and a hot head, you still have opportunity for the mercy and the grace of God. Aren't you thankful tonight that he reaches from the guttermost to the uttermost? That he said, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. Jesus walked with these chosen 12. Jesus, in the midst of all of the people, there was a core group that would form the foundation of the church. They would be the ones that would pay the ultimate price. If you study out how they died, it was not a desiring or a desiresome death. These 12 individuals truly paid the price for being the chosen 12. You see, we're in a day, in an hour, when people, they want the performance or the position without the price. Yeah. I know I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. There is a study that was done on this new brand type of clothing, not brand, but style of clothing. And it's getting really popular in the charismatic movement because they're doing away with ties and jackets and dressing up, and they're going to, you got 50-year-olds wanting to look like they're 20. They're wearing jumpsuits. They're wearing all this stuff. You know what it's called? The literal term for it is called athleisure. It takes two types of clothing, leisure style and athletic. And it literally combined them, and it's now called athleisure clothing. Okay? Now, do you realize that there are a lot of people wearing yoga pants that are not doing yoga and shouldn't be wearing yoga pants? They need to look in the mirror. Because there's something that happens mentally when you put on workout clothes and tennis shoes. Now, you could be going to get a cheeseburger, but you look like you're going to work out. You look like, and so it makes you feel better about yourself. You look the part, but you're not willing to pay the price for the part. That's why I don't go to the gym. It's because I don't want to put in the time to be ripped and be shredded. I am, you just can't tell. I cover it well. I went to the gym back years ago. I signed up. I think I went four times. It came out to $25 per visit. It cost me $100 to sign up for the month. I went four times and I canceled it. They made the most money off of me because I did it four times and I looked in the mirror and nothing changed. And I said, I'm wasting my time. Why am I doing this? There's a lot of people that want the clothes without the cost. They want to look the part. They don't want to pay the price to be the part. And if you're going to live for God, you're going to have to pay the price. You're going to have to pay the cost. Hey, friend, this thing, yeah, it's free. There was a woman that went to the well. She brought her water pot to the well. She was a Samaritan. And Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. But Jesus has been known to violate rules to reach people. And he went to that well that day and began to talk to that woman. And she was so hung up. She was so hung up on who he was. And this is the well. And they get into this exchange and discourse. And Jesus says, hey, this water that I have, anybody that drinks of this, they'll never thirst again. It was free water. But I don't want us to get so hung up on free water that we forget that there's a high cost of free water. It didn't just come to God and stay as you are. I said it the other night, the church has always been come as you are. But the church has never been stay as you are. There ought to be such an enticement when you start drinking from this well that you want to start getting more like Jesus Christ. You want to push aside the things of the world. You want to push aside the sin of the world. And I want to become more like him. Hey, listen to me, friend. Just because you come to God and you start living for God does not mean you are exempt from temptation. It doesn't mean you will always float with angels on clouds. Okay, you're human. And this text right here is proof that if the disciples can struggle like this, we can struggle as well. Bible says they're coming off the heels of feeding the 5,000. And it says that they took up 12 baskets full of fragments. Now that's proof right there. 5,000 men plus women and children. So if they're all married, that's 10,000. If they each have a kid, that's 15,000 each family. And if you get the point of what I'm saying. At least 10,000 to 15,000 people. 5 loaves, 2 fish. You talk about a divine miracle to feed all of these people and still take up 12 baskets full of fragments. You would think that these disciples are walking high. If I saw that, I would think that I would be so full of faith after watching what Jesus just did. And the Lord, Bible says that he constrained his disciples. He got all of his disciples together and he put them into a ship to go on the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. So in other words, there's a mob of people. And Jesus said, hey, you guys go get in that ship. Y'all go across the other side. And he started loving on the people and sending all the multitude away. And the Bible says when he has sent them away, he went up into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, you know what that tells me? It started getting dark. Y'all were waiting on some big revelation. It started getting dark when even was come. And the ship was in the midst of the sea. And he was on land alone. So here's the picture. It's getting dark. The disciples are on the boat that Jesus put them in. And Jesus sent them out. And he waited until the middle of the night and in the middle of the sea. Now you got to keep in mind, some of these were fishermen. They were experienced from their youth because generally the child followed in the footsteps of his father. That's why Jesus became a carpenter, because Joseph was a carpenter. It was part of their custom. So these were not novice individuals in a boat. They knew how to handle a boat. But don't you know that God allows situations to get out of control even when you're used to being in control? We're not saying that the enemy did this. We're not crediting the devil with this. Bible says the wind began to blow contrary. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where I was doing everything I could to keep my boat going the direction I wanted it to go. And Jesus said, I just need those winds to blow a little bit harder because I'm fixing to test their faith. I don't know where you're at tonight. Maybe you're trying to keep your boat going in the direction that you want it to go. And God says, hold on a minute. I need life to just start happening a little bit more. I need the winds to start blowing a little bit more because they can still do it on their own. Hey friend, if you want to see God, you got to let the winds blow. You got to let it get dark in your life. You got to let your situation get out of control, because as long as you can do it, you don't need God. Hey, everybody wants a miracle, but nobody's signing up for a problem. Nobody's signing up for tribulation and trials. We just want the good part. We don't want all this other stuff it takes to get a testimony. We don't want our life to spin out of control. We don't want our family to go crazy, the ones that aren't already. We don't want none of that. We just want to tell about what God did on the other side. But if you want that testimony, then you got to let it get dark. And you got to let the winds blow. And you can't try to stay by the shore. You got to get out there in the middle of that lake before you'll get a testimony. Now watch this. Bible said that their hearts became hardened at the miracle of the loaves and fishes. These are the disciples. These are the people that walked with God every day. And you would think they would have that such a level of faith. But even their hearts became hardened. And we can look at them and we could cast a premature judgment because we get to read the rest of the story. But how many times does a situation come up in our life And we start doubting whether or not God is going to take care of it. On the heels of every other time that he's shown his power. Every other time he made a way when there was no way. Every other time he performed with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes in our lives. And yet we still start doubting and questioning whether or not God is going to work this out. So let's not cast stones at those disciples. Let's just grab that mirror and look at it for a moment and realize that we're in the same boat that they're in. And if anybody's going to talk about trusting God, we need to be the ones talking about trusting God. We need to be the ones standing upon that word. That's a sure word. And Jesus, he said, what Bible says, he watched them toiling. You know, God will let you try to do it on your own. He'll let you. He'll just sit back. He'll just let you try to figure it out. You know, if you want people to grow, they have to be challenged. And if God wanted to, every time you knelt down and asked God to do something, he has all power to make it happen right when you ask it. He has all power. But you know what would not happen? Your faith would not grow because you would never be challenged. Now, you parents, you daddies, especially if you got boys, I don't have boys, but I've seen it happen with girls. You know, part of the growing up process is that kid's got to fall off that bike. You know that you have all power to sit there and walk with them and hold that seat and hold that handle. And as long as you're holding, they're comfortable. They're confident. But as soon as you let go, they could be doing it by themselves. You could be walking and sitting there not even touching it, and they're doing it. But you got to let go and let them fall. And how many times has your children gotten situations where you had all power to bail them out in a moment's notice, but because you love them, you had to let them hurt a little bit. You had to let them suffer a little bit. You had to let them go through that problem by themselves because that's the only way that they could grow. And we're made in the image of God. That's the very nature of God. And God, because we are his children, on one hand, he's saying, I love you, I have all power to help you. But on the other hand, he's saying, if I help you, you're not going to grow. Your faith isn't going to grow. So winds, keep on blowing. Darkness, just keep on setting. Let that boat shake a little bit. Let them get nervous a little bit. But they need to know that I'm going to be there for them even when they're crying out in fear. Don't you realize tonight that before you ever stepped foot in that boat, God was already in it. Before you ever got in the middle of the ship, God in the middle of the sea, God was already in it. Hey, friend, it don't matter where you're at, God is there. Watch this. Watch this. Jesus was on the mountain praying. I don't know how long it took to get off a mountain, but Jesus could have just transported himself instantly in the middle of the sea. He could do it. He did it other times where he just transported himself. And he was walking in the sea, on the sea, in the middle of the night. But watch this. He was not going to them. He was walking by them. You know, if I see Brother Black in trouble, I go to him. It's like this. I'm going to him. But if I see him in trouble and I'm walking by him, it's like this. There's a difference in going to and walking by. And what Jesus was doing, he was just walking by to let them know, I'm available in the midst of your storm. Because if you don't want me, I'm not going to help you. And the Bible says that they cried out not out of faith. They're showing their humanity. They cried out in fear. But God, out of his mercy, said, hey, I know you're afraid. I just was letting you know I'm here. Even in the worst storm you've ever been in, it is I. Be of good cheer. Don't you be afraid. Hey, friend, there's a God in this place tonight. He's not forcing himself on you. He's walking by you. And you got to maximize your moment. Either you're going to cry out to God or you're going to try to do it by yourself. How many times do we come to church and God, I know he's everywhere, but you got to think about it in the literal sense. God's just walking by. He's just walking by. He knows Brother Lloyd's need. He knows Brother Blake's need. He knows Brother Donovan's need. He knows all. He sees your storm. He sees what you're facing. He understands everything you're going through. He sees every time you cry yourself to sleep. He understands the misunderstandings. But he said, I'm never going to force myself on anybody. But what I'm going to do is I'm just going to walk by. And if they want me, they're going to maximize their moment. If they're tired of being in their situation, if they're tired of being in their sin, if they're tired of being in that ship in the middle of the night feeling helpless and hopeless, then they're going to cry out to me. They're going to reach out to me. And when I hear a cry of desperation, I'm going to step up to that ship and I'm going to show my power. Hey, friend, it's time you maximize the moment tonight. Don't let this service go by. How many wasted services do we leave where we come to church in the middle of the storm and we leave church still in the middle of the storm, and we heard good preaching and we heard good singing, but we didn't maximize our moment. There was another one in the Bible, Brother Black. Blind Bartimaeus. Just so you know, Bartimaeus wasn't his name. Bar means son of. Timaeus was his daddy's name. So it was Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. Just like where he said Simon Bar-Jonas means Simon, son of Jonas. I know you didn't ask for that, but maybe I could help you. And here he was, blind, sitting there, identified by the clothes that he wore. And Jesus was walking by. Jesus wasn't walking to blind Bartimaeus. He was walking by him. Just like he was walking by the disciples in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the night. He was just making himself available. And there, Bartimaeus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And you had people all around him telling him to be quiet. Isn't it amazing how the people who everything's going right will tell the one that everything's going wrong to be quiet? Isn't that something? They weren't the ones blind. They weren't the ones who had everything on the line at that moment. But he said, I don't care what people think about me. See, when you get to the place where you don't care, you have stepped into the greatest realm of liberty there is. I talked to a guy who, he used to be a barroom brawler. And he told me, he said, when I walked into a bar, he said, I didn't worry about that old loudmouth over there, drunk. He said, I wasn't afraid of him. He said, it's that little quiet man over there sitting in the corner who ain't saying a word, because that dude don't care if he wins or loses. He's going to give it everything he's got, and he'll go nuts in this place. See, when you don't care and you tell somebody, I'm going to whoop you, and they say, I don't care, you just disarmed them. That's the greatest liberty, is when you don't care about anything. Why do you think the Bible says Jesus made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant? Because if he was bound by a reputation, then he couldn't have tolerated somebody spitting on him. He couldn't have tolerated people mocking him and scourging him. But he stepped into that liberty of I don't care. And when you get to that place, then you won't be satisfied sitting in a pew when Jesus is walking by. You won't be satisfied leaving this place the same same way that you came. Hey, friend, if you're tired of being where you're at tonight, you need to stop caring what people think, and you need to make your way to an altar and let God touch you. Stand with me right now. We've got way too many people that are bound by public opinion. Listen to me. It does not matter what anybody thinks about you. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Because you know what? You may have a list of 100 people. And you can say, well, this is the reason, and that's the reason, and they're the reason. But when it's time for you and the Lord to meet, you can't bring 100 people with you. You can't point a finger at people and say they're the reason why. It's you and God. And I'm telling you tonight, if I've ever heard something in the Holy Ghost, you need to understand God's not walking to you tonight. He's walking by you. And either you're going to reach out and get what you need from God, or you're going to leave the same way that you came. But it's not going to be God that decides it. It's going to be you that decides if you're tired of being sick, and you're tired of being financially broke, and you're tired of being lost in your sin. When you get tired of it, God is making himself available. I wonder tonight, I'm opening these altars, and I'm not asking you to come out of duty, but if you're tired of being where you're at, if you're tired of praying the same prayer, if you're tired of wondering whether or not God knows where you're at, I want you to step out of that pew tonight and make your way down to this altar, and you're going to throw your hands in the air, and you're going to say, God, I need you tonight. I need change tonight. I'm preaching to somebody that you need to pray back through to the Holy Ghost, and tonight is your night.